Please pray with me.
Heavenly Father, we're a small group here today, but we're gathered in your name, and we seek to hear your voice. So I pray that you would use my words to speak to the hearts of your people gathered here, and let each one of us hear your voice. This is why we're here. And we give thanks to you. We do give you honor and praise. We pray in your Son's name. Amen.
The scriptures tell us that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the first two chapters of Genesis go on to tell us how God chose to arrange his creation. One detail of particular significance to us is that the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Thus God gave the man a body using the common stuff that was literally just lying on the ground. In fact, it was the ground itself. God took the dirt and crafted from it the material body of Adam. He then breathed life into this material body, making him a creature with a complex nature that we often describe as body, soul, and spirit. Today, we'll focus on the body, primarily because it's the part of the human nature that we can most easily and most directly observe and study. Now, it is interesting, it's a little bit of science, that with the creation of Adam's body, and later Eve's body, from the same material, God, in fact, provided for the bodies of all humans at all times in history. Now, he did this with a variant of a technology known in the 20th century, anyways, as the self-replicating machine. And it is interesting that scientists and engineers still argue about the practicality of actually building machines that can reproduce themselves. God had no argument. He simply implemented the technology that pleased him. Now, in any case, our interest in the body is as a concrete representation of one of God's great works, and that is the Church of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 12, as we read today, Paul introduces this representation of the body as a representation of the Church. The body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. Paul's first point is that despite having many different parts, the body has a profound unity in its created nature. And so it should be with those of us in Christ. The Church has a profound unity based in its redeemed nature. Verse 13 goes on to say, "For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Whether Greeks, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were given the one Spirit to drink." And just as the hand of God formed the dust of the earth into the body of Adam, so God's Spirit forms, or as Paul says, baptizes, his people into one body. The unity in the body and in the Church is a direct result of God's hand. To emphasize the depth of the unity produced by God's Spirit, Paul points out that God overcomes the deepest social divisions of his era. Jews and Greeks, a are divided by history, language, culture, and customs. Slaves and freemen were typically divided by the same as well as economic and social barriers. Yet God gave to his church men who, like Paul himself, was born and raised a Jew, but also received enough of the Greek education, not to mention the call of Christ, to become the apostle to the Gentiles and a major author of the New Testament, a Greek document. We also find in the short letter to Philemon how a slave, Onesimus, was reconciled in Christ with Philemon, from whom he had run away earlier. Paul's words in Corinthians are backed up with real world, or maybe I should say real heaven, examples. Paul is not just speaking about an ideal. He is talking about what God actually does in his church. In 21st century CEMCNJ, we have a variety of linguistic and cultural backgrounds. God will overcome divisions in his church. God is calling upon each of us to be part of that victory. Perhaps like Paul, your life has been prepared to bridge the gap. Perhaps like Philemon, God is calling you to change your thinking to better discern God's purposes. In verse 14, Paul goes a little bit deeper. Now, the body is not made up of one part, but many. God could have created a unity by making us all the same. But God is more creative than that. He creates unity out of diversity. Using a single part is sometimes adequate for some purposes. To protect a town from floods, tens of thousands of sandbags may be filled with sand and stacked to create a temporary levee. When God allows, this levee may indeed serve the purpose of keeping the floodwaters out of the town. But even for slightly more complex purposes, such as the parking lot that we're building just out front there, more complicated, more different parts are typically needed. Even just as in the parking lot, we'll have an asphalt pavement, concrete curbs and walkways, electrical wiring, having conductors, insulation, protective cladding, a metal pole to hold a multi-component light fixture. Only when those parts and many more are arranged in a proper way will the parking lot work properly. God has created our bodies with many parts that work together in truly amazing ways. The church, too, has many parts that God fully intends should work together to fulfill and accomplish his purposes. Satan, however, stands in opposition to God's purposes, and he would like to influence our thinking. And verse 15 tells us what Satan would suggest for us. It says, if the foot should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body. Here is the foot. This is a vital part for running, walking, or even just standing. It's looking at another vital part, the eye, and saying, wow, that eye has a really important function. It can determine what's happening far away. It can perceive the words in books. It can allow for navigation when we travel. And I can't do anything like that. I can't perceive anything except when I touch it. I must not be part of this body. Well, that sounds silly, I know. Foot doesn't come loose of the body just because it doesn't think it's part of the body. But you know, we do the same thing. Sometimes we say, oh, I'm too old to join in. Oh, or I'm too young. Or maybe I'm too much in the middle. Or maybe I don't speak Chinese well enough. Or my Cantonese is not good enough. Or my Mandarin. Or my English. Or perhaps I don't speak well enough. Perhaps I can't teach well enough. Sometimes we tell ourselves, despite what God says, that we're not part of the body. And even if we don't come out and say it explicitly, sometimes it's somehow buried in our hearts or minds that maybe we don't fit in. That is simply Satan doing everything that he can do to disrupt the body. Regardless of how we might think or feel, and our thinking and our feelings are important, but regardless of what we may think or feel, we do need to note what God has said, that he has arranged the parts of the body. That includes you. Okay. To be honest, this is very complicated stuff in a certain way, because this is life, and we're going to have to find our ways through life, and we do that by following Christ. And there are lots of different things that happen in life, some of which might be complicated. But the most important thing is to make sure that we get on the road. We understand God has said to us, you are part of the body. He didn't say if your speech is really good, or if your musical ability is really good, or whatever. He said you're part of the body. And then we go on from there. Now, Paul goes on here to talk about why it is that God chose to make us different. He didn't bring together all of the same parts and stick them together. He chose a very wide variety of different kinds of people, honestly, different kinds of thinking, different languages, all different ages. And he intends us to be one body. And he says it in a very simple way. He says, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But very importantly, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? And as it is, there are many parts, each of us, but one body, the body of Christ. So one of the things that can happen at Satan's prompting is the individual parts of the body may feel like they don't belong. There's another part, another thing that Satan will try to prompt in the church. Verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Imagine the following conversation. The hand says to the ear, "Hey ear, look at the feet. You know what? I was talking to the nose, and the nose says, the feet stink." And the ear replies, "Yeah, we can't have a stinky part of our body. Let's get rid of it." Well, the feet happens to overhear this gossip. And the feet want to defend themselves. So what do the feet say? The feet says, "Well, you know, you're right. Sometimes I don't smell quite as nicely as I should. But, you know, it's because I'm trying to help you guys get around. And I'm always working hard to make sure that you guys can go where you need to go. But you know what? Look at the kidney. Kidneys are sitting on the inside. It's not doing any work. In fact, it's taking up all the blood. And you know what? The kidney produces some really gross and disgusting stuff. If you're going to get rid of somebody, let's get rid of the kidney." Well, perhaps because the feet were feeling defensive, the feet felt like it needed to deflect the concerns of some of the other parts. But the feet fail to discern something very important, which is that the kidneys, in fact, cleanse the blood, remove poisons from the body, and yes, produces gross stuff, but that's stuff that the body is getting rid of, and the kidneys are in fact working very hard. And this reveals one of the difficulties that we sometimes can have in the church, that when somebody is not quite like us, or honestly, somebody is very different from us, and what they're doing in the church isn't what we do, and we might get the impression that what they're doing isn't all that important at all. And so we might sort of take the attitude, well, why can't they pull their own weight? And we want to, like the feet, get rid of the kidneys. But Paul addresses that. He says, "On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker, maybe in our estimation, are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts don't need any special treatment. But God," we need to remember the actor here, "but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to those parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, and that its parts should have equal concern for one another. And if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. And if one part is honored, every part rejoices with it." The prescription that we have in today's sermon, to remember that we're each part of the body, so that we should not feel ourselves as if we're outside, and we should not be pushing others outside, is a simple prescription. And as I mentioned earlier, though, the Apostle Paul and others in the church, in fact, others in the church in all ages, have lived this prescription. And this is what God does in the church. And if God is not doing that in our church, we're not following God. It's not a simple thing. Maybe I present it as if it's a simple thing. But there are many twists and turns.
There are many discussions to be had. There's much to be done in terms of understanding one another. As you know, we have a very wide variety of cultures. You might say two, Chinese and American, I guess. But I think we all know that within Chinese culture, it's not just one culture. There are many different groups there as well. And in Christ, we're called to somehow look beyond all of those things. And you know, they're important. Our cultures are important to all of us. Our language is important. Our literature, all of these things. And we sometimes have to look at our brothers and sisters and say to them, you know, I don't really understand what you're saying, but I'm glad you're saying it, and I'm trying to listen to it, and I'm glad that we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And I know this is not easy, and we all will have certain struggles with that, but it is what God calls us to. So I'd like to leave you with just verse 22. One last statement. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it.